Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kitchen Table Mystic. It's a beautiful morning at the kitchen table here on Cape Cod. I have a fascinating guest I think that you're going to really enjoy. Her name is Christine Agro. She is an empath, and she has been helping empaths realize their gifts for more than 20 years. She is the author of a book called 50 Ways to Live Life Consciously, and she's working on a new book called Anatomy of an Empath. Empaths are people with highly attuned senses, and Christine Agro is an empath, and she joins us from New York today. Good morning, Christine.
Hey, Mary. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm really excited.
Thank you for being here. We are going to start our show with the drawing of the Woman Rune card and see what we get today. I'm going to shuffle three times, and Christine is actually calling in remotely, or I'd have her draw the card herself. So since she's not actually, she's at her own kitchen table, so I'm at my kitchen table, and I will draw the card momentarily. This is the third shuffle. I'll bet you can hear it. Okay. Here we go. So today's card.
I'm excited to see what it is.
Are you ready to see what it is?
I know. I'm really excited.
Okay. This is it. It's called, that's a good one, the whole moon. So it's the rune of the psyche, moon energy, and mysteries, cycles. Okay, Christine, how do we relate that to empathy?
Moon energy and mysteries and cycle.
Yes, rune of the psyche.
Well, that we're talking about what actually lends to us being empathic. So I could see that uncovering, you know, getting that information out there. I can see that. And plus the beautiful guidance of you know, the feminine energy of the moon. We're very strongly connected to that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's a good, strong card to start. I have to introduce myself. I am Mary Petite. I'm your host on Kitchen Table Mystic. I can be found on Facebook at marypetite.com. And you can see my work on my website. And you can find Kitchen Table Mystic and archived episodes and future episodes on my website, which is www.marypetite.com. Okay, Christine, can you tell us how would somebody who thinks they're an empath know they're an empath?
Well, I think that there's two pieces here, and it's funny because I am working with people who are empaths. I have long since moved away from using my empath abilities. In my work, I use primarily clairvoyance, which is the ability to see clearly. To connect ourselves to am I an empath? I think most people probably know it just intuitively. But empaths tend to, there's a lot of different, criteria is not the right word. There's a lot of different experiences that empaths have. And some of them are, there's just an innate knowing of when people are telling the truth. There can be a real overwhelming sense of experience. So when you go to the mall, there's a lot of people around, or you go to a museum. I'm really strongly affected by museums. You walk away feeling energetically drained. Sometimes when you have conversations with people and they're maybe in a challenging place, you can walk away feeling drained. Empaths have the tendency to, they're high healers, whether they know it or not. What they do, or what we do, is actually we're energy clearers. So take the energy in, run it straight through our own space, and channel it back out in a healed kind of dynamic. Empaths tend to hold space. So if there's something really powerful going on, their energy will be grounding and holding the space. It doesn't mean that they are necessarily grounded all the time. Sometimes in that effect of being highly affected by energy, it can create kind of a spirally sense of feeling not grounded. So there's a lot of different, you know, pieces that sort of point to empathic nature. And I just want to say that there's a difference between empathy and being an empath. We can have empathy and not be an empath. Empathy comes from our experiences. So my dog ran away and it was really scary for me. Your dog runs away and I know I can really associate with how you feel. I may say I know how you feel. Of course, I don't think we can always exactly know how someone feels, but that's empathy. You know how somebody feels because you've had the same experience. Where being an empath is really it's really so much more than that, and I've you know touched on a lot of.
Christine, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you still hear me?
I can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So do you need more information about that, or
well,
where would
I
you
think
like
it
to
leads
go?
Me to another question. I am always trying to figure out the difference between empathy and sympathy because they're close, and I wonder if they're easily confused. I think I might confuse them. Yeah.
How long have I been? Was I gone for a while? Because I did. I just talked about
just
empathy.
Just a second. Yeah, we got your empathy. We got. Yep.
Okay. So, yeah. So just to recap on the difference between empathy and sympathy. Oh, I see. Sorry. So yeah, empathy. I just spoke about what empathy is. Sympathy is. You haven't had the experience directly, but you can feel for somebody. So.
Yeah.
You lost your dog. I never lost my dog, but wow, I really feel bad for you. I can really understand just because I have a caring nature, I can understand that you're feeling bad about that. So that's the difference between empathy is that you've actually had the experience and you associate somebody else's experience with your experience, where sympathy is I haven't had the experience, but I can, you know, I have a compassionate nature and I can certainly understand that you would be upset about that.
Okay. Okay. This is the Kitchen Table Mystic and I'm talking with our guest, Christine Agro, about empathy. She's currently working on a new book called The Empath Guide to Survival, which you can find on Facebook or online at www.theempathguidetosurvival.com. That's her website. And Christine, we're looking at an interesting time in America right now, and there's a lot of heavy stuff that empaths are probably picking up right now. What would you advise people? What's useful for them to know about how to deal with all of the energy that's out there right now?
Yeah, I mean, I could say it's definitely really intense, and I'm seeing a number of different things coming up for people. There's fear. There's anxiety. I think there's frustration. There's confusion. There's some really strong energies, revulsion, disgust. You know, it's really been, and I've felt them myself, but as someone who likes to look at this stuff, I find it interesting. I know people who are simply experiencing it are not finding it interesting at all. they're finding
they'd
it
rather
very
not be experiencing
right,
it.
Right, they're finding
yeah.
it very challenging.
Like, can we stop now?
yeah, and I think it's important to remember that on a grander scale, that this is really part of the collective consciousness moving forward. So as with any thing that hides beneath the surface, it has to come out for it to heal. And that healing process is oftentimes, it's not an easy thing or a simple thing. It's actually quite an involved process. And so to look at this in a positive way, this is allowing a lot of the deep, dark stuff that's been in our own souls, maybe not, you know, people listening to the show, but people in general, things that have been sitting deep beneath the surface, things that they have been hiding, things that they've been able to say in a group of like-minded people. It's allowing all of that to come to the surface, and that it can't be addressed when it hides. So, you know, if we can kind of remember that there is a positive piece to this, it still doesn't make it easier. It still doesn't make our experience of what's going on any less frightening or energy provoking. So what can we do? You know, it's a time for, and this is something that empaths are challenged with, it's a time for self-care. It's a time to remove ourselves from situations. It's a time to be conscious of, you know, where we're placing ourselves. If you're really having a hard time, you know, don't watch the news. Don't get off of Facebook. Like, don't put yourself in the situation where you're actually encountering all of this. And I say that not from a place of saying, you know, put your head in the sand and ignore it. I say that because you already know what's going on. You know, another 2 days of listening to the same stuff is not going to change it.
Right. And this is something that people can control their own environment. So,
absolutely.
So if people are feeling perhaps out of control of the whole situation, that's not really true, because you can control what's in front of you.
And I think, you know, you can control what's in front of you, and you can control what you choose to interact with, right? So you don't have
where you put your energy.
Yeah, you don't have to have the conversation that's going to create that feeling. The other thing is on a very energetic healing perspective, we're kind of trained from a very early age to push things down, right? So you feel fear, and what we do, whether we do it consciously or unconsciously, we push it down. So that what happens is the fear comes up because you're actually trying to heal it. It just like I'm talking about with the greater picture of moving this stuff up and out so that we can heal it, that happens in our own personal space. So if you're feeling fear, don't push it down. I have a very simple tool. You close your eyes, imagine like a really great, powerful magnet, and pull it out of your space.
Oh,
and
that's wonderful.
It's simple. And you know what? Real healing work, sort of energetic healing work is incredibly simple. You don't have to do like big rituals and rituals are great. I love rituals for a lot of reasons, but at the end of the day, to clear stuff out of your space, it's usually very simple techniques and tools that work. You know, grounding ourselves into the earth, that's a great way to create strength and balance in your life. Using this magnet idea to pull energy out is very simple. And like I said, you want to move it out because that's the thing. That's on the bigger picture, that's what's so great about all of this, is that it's lighting up all this energy for us. And it gives us an opportunity to clear it out of our space. But if we don't choose to clear it out of our space, we just have to keep recreating these scenarios in one way or another to clear it. So like I like to talk about, our spiritual journey and the way that information comes to us, because initially we get a gentle nudge. So a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, somebody might have gotten a gentle nudge that they needed to clear something out of their space. And they kind of brushed it away like a fly, like, oh, I go away. And as time progresses and you get closer and closer to this place of needing to make a shift, gets louder and louder and louder. And I can tell you that from a collective consciousness perspective, many of us have been holding space for the collective to move, to shift into greater awareness. and the space is being, it's been being held for a long time. And I get that we're at this place where at that level, it's like, okay, we can't really wait anymore. Everybody needs to shift. So now we've got this combustible energy happening that is almost demanding that we make this shift. So, you know, again, when we make the shift, not everybody's going to make the shift. We're still going to have to go through more of this moving forward. But I think from a positive perspective, there's a really amazing healing piece going on with all of this.
Wow. But that's fabulous. Do you think the individual shift is what's going to lead to the larger societal shift?
I do believe, because I think it's, you know, it's each of us in our own work that helps to move the collective forward. So the collective, it can move forward in segments. So a portion of the collective might actually get to a place where it goes, yay, we can move forward. So it moves forward. And that did happen. That happened about 8 years ago, I think. I can't remember exactly, 8 or 10 years ago, where a big piece of the collective moved forward. And that's when you started seeing, that's when you started seeing, I think, there was more conversation about spirituality in the mainstream, and more conversation about, well, that mindfulness sort of came out of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So it sort of became more mainstream. And people just sort of snapped into awareness. It was like all of a sudden there was this awareness of the way that we communicate with each other and the way that we show up. So that was a big move. So it's, you know, each individual, has their own role in moving the collective forward. And that's really, that for me, when I look at this, that's the journey, is we're evolving ourselves, but in the evolution of ourselves, we're evolving the collective.
And that seems like a lot of work right now for a lot of people.
Yeah. It does. I think though, really, if you know, in providing some guidance, if people can, you know, do those couple of things, ground themselves into the earth. Just imagine roots growing from your feet down into the earth. That provides a sense of stability. And then when the energies come up, move them out and stay in that place of just working on yourself, right? Try to focus on what you can do yourself, because you're not going to change somebody else and you're not going to change what's happening in the moment. So what you can change is what's happening in your own space. And this is where the sort of, you know, esoteric or spiritual meets reality. It doesn't mean that we don't take action. It doesn't mean that we don't speak up. It doesn't mean that we don't stand for what's right, because all of that helps to move everybody else forward. But in doing that, you have to try to find that place where you're still only focusing on how you show up in the world. Is it kind of confusing, or does it make sense?
It makes sense, because if you can do that, you build your strength to stand up and to act. It's your foundation.
Yeah.
Which I think you need to, you know, grow a strong tree. So get rid of your TV and go outside.
Well, and you know, that's really interesting. I just, you know, I'm coming off of 2 years of doing a lot of looking at nature and seeing that, you know, at the bottom of all of this, we are nature, right? We evolved out of the same microorganism that plant life evolved out of. So we're not even cousins. We're completely, you know, we're related. There's a connection there. And what I was looking at during this period, which is when I founded the Church of Nature, is that nature isn't, I don't see nature as superior to us, like so that we should worship it. I see that nature is a direct reflection of who we are. And if we look at nature and we look at how nature does it, we get keys to how we can do it, right? So if you look at a tree and it's in its strength and its groundedness into the earth, and the way that it reaches up and the way that it reaches out and the way that it communicates, and the fact that, you know, an elm tree never looks at an oak and says, boy, I wish I had those leaves, right? It's totally in its own space. It's completely in alignment with itself. So, yeah.
But it's also something, the cycles of the tree, too. The leaves that grow and then die and fall and come back and grow again. That's something else we can probably take wisdom from.
Absolutely, and there's a great simplicity in nature to that process of evolution. There isn't that struggle that we sometimes encounter because of our egos. But the thing about nature is that because it is pure spirit, it holds a very high vibration. And so, and because we are nature, and we do, especially empaths, we do model and mirror dynamics that we're in. When we step out into nature, we raise our vibration to meet nature, which is why we feel so much better when we're in nature, because we're standing in the truth of who we are. It's so simple, but it's just like you just have to hear it, and then you're like, oh, I see that. I get it.
Yeah, I get that. I totally resonate with that. That's wonderful. And we can do it just by going outside.
Right. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to, you know, stand in a certain way or, you know.
And it's free and it's just out your back door.
Right.
Oh, our guest is Christine Agro. You can see her stuff on her website, www.theempathguidetosurvival.com. And Christine has a blog called The Sensible Life. She offers a webinar called Clear the Clutter. And for the holidays, she has a special course called Thrive During the Holidays. Christine, would you like to share some of the things you offer and how you can help empaths?
I'd love to. And the Thrive During the Holidays, it's not actually a course. It's a conversation series. It's 12 days where I'm bringing together experts from across a variety of fields, all of which have some tool or piece of information that is simple that you can do to help you really have the best holiday ever. So it builds off of this notion that because we are energetically sensitive, which oftentimes feels like a burden, the gift part in it is that we actually have tremendous access to tools that work on a vibrational level that can shift us in an instant. Like because we have that ability, just like stepping outside and matching the vibration of nature. And so that's what this conversation series, it's bringing together 12 different conversations about ways that you can really support yourself. And I kick it off with the anatomy of an empath. So I'm going to be talking about how we're set up as empaths. And it does apply to people who are energetically sensitive if they don't feel like they really fit fully with that empath description. Because when we're energetically sensitive, there's still some things. I was speaking with a woman the other day, and she's one of she's doing one of the conversations, and she works with crystals. And I was talking to her about whether or not she saw herself as an empath. And she said, well, I'm really energetically sensitive, but I pick it up more through my hands. And I found that really interesting, because there are different ways that we can, you know, we can pick up information. So we start off with that, because I think that the more we know, the more we understand about ourselves, the more empowered we are to create real change in our life. So my two things are that your two most important ingredients this holiday season are self-understanding and self-care. And this conversation series is going to give you both. So it's free, and people can sign up by visiting theempathguidetosurvival.com. If you want the actual URL, it is theempathguidetosurvival.com/thrive during the holidays. And so you go there, just register. It'll take you to a specific page where all of the conversations are going to happen, and you'll get some follow-up emails reminding you. And then we start on November 12th.
Oh, excellent. Just in time for the holidays, right before Thanksgiving.
Very well planned. And actually it runs over Thanksgiving, and we end on the 25th, where I'll be doing one of my special Clear the Clutter classes right in the session. So, and that's all experiential. So you come and we just go through and we clear stuff out. And I'm really hoping to do a post-election one on the 9th. There's a lot of pieces to put together this 12-day conversation series, but my spirit has been saying you have to do this because people really need it. So if you, how can people find out? You can join, it doesn't always work. I was thinking you can like the Facebook page, which is the Empath Guide to Survival, and I'll be posting information there. I suppose, you know what, you can add me as a friend on Facebook. I'm Christine.Agro, it's AGRO.7. So that's me. There, I have another account, but I don't use that one. That's a long story.
Okay, and add Mary Petite on Facebook as a friend too, because I will be posting what you post, Christine. So I'll be helping spread that. Yeah,
I was
happy
to
help.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah. So what we do in those sessions or in that experience is that we actually, because we are experiential, that's another great gift that empaths have. We learn by doing. So we actually do right that's the whole thing is I might talk a little bit, but not much. And then I actually lead you through clearing your space out.
And can you take that and run? So next time, if you're alone, you'll have taught them how
absolutely.
To clear space. So
yes,
it's something
absolutely.
You can keep. It's a tool you'll have in your own box.
Yeah.
Whenever
I'm
you need
all
it.
About tools. I, you know, it's funny if you, you know, if you work with me or you're in a class with me, I'm always like, oh, I have a tool for that. it's an energetic tool because they work and they work so well. And I've had people come into programs, not skeptical, but, you know, not really sure. And then towards the end, be like, it's so amazing that works. It's like, it does work. You know, it's like, you know, it's just energy. It's all energy. So if we understand it, which is my big push is that first we have to understand it. If we understand it, then we can shift it. And then we shift it with, you know, some simple tools.
Wow. Excellent.
I don't
now,
think
when
it's
is your
hard.
Book coming?
It can seem very complicated, but can actually, I think if you have the right person, you know, guiding you, I think it can be really simple, you know? So you were going to ask me about Anatomy of an Empath, the book?
Yeah. When is your book coming out?
I don't know.
Okay.
I started writing a free gift for people who came to the site, which if you do go to the Empath Guide to Survival, there is a free gift there. It's five ways. I can't remember what I called it exactly. It's five ways to like support yourself when you're interacting with people. So it's some really good tips and tools on what you can do when you're interacting with people, because I know that that's one of the biggest challenges that we can have when we're energetically sensitive is holding our space, is having boundaries, is not picking up on what other people are experiencing and not taking on what they're doing. So,
And I think right now in this particular moment here in this country, that's really potent right now, what you're describing.
Yeah, so there's a free gift there. If you enter your email, you can get that. So I originally, when I was putting that together, it was like a handbook that I thought was going to be maybe like a couple of pages long.
And it's become a manuscript?
It has become a manuscript, and I realized like, oh, this is actually information that probably people want, so I should really write this as a book. So that's what happened. So I don't know. I'll keep working on it and probably sharing bits on the blog, which is The Sensitive Life, as I finish pieces or things come to mind. I think, you know, one of the things I've been working on lately that I just want to touch on with people, you know, when we're energetically sensitive, when we're empaths, we really do recognize how other people affect us. But I think rarely we recognize how we affect other people. And that's something I really want all of us to remember, because especially creating this space for empaths to reach out. I find sometimes the interactions are really interesting because there is a there is sometimes a lack of awareness that, hey, how I just said that probably actually just made you feel terrible.
Oh.
So I'm just, you know, putting that out there to people that there are two sides to this, and it's always best to remember that people are energetically sensitive. And if you react with judgment, or you react with disgust, or you react with a critical voice, or you react with anger, there's somebody on the other end who's probably, you know, just as sensitive, who's getting that, you know, who's being hit by that. So I think it's just important to remember that, and I just want to throw that out there.
To be kind.
Be kind, absolutely.
Yeah,
be kind and be thoughtful.
Be kind,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if we you know, really do stop and think about how we would feel if we received something, or we, you know, something was directed to us in that way. And again, it doesn't mean that you cannot be, you know, not like the way something has happened and express that. It's the way in which it's expressed.
So it takes great presence of self to really do that. That's challenging. Yeah,
it is.
But it's possible. You can do it.
I think it's a challenge we should all try to, you know, take on.
Yes, I think if everyone took on that challenge today, we could see a different national discourse. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and I think that again, you know, talking about things coming to the surface, I think these are the kinds of things that are. You know, I see it. If you go back and you look at starting in 2008 when Facebook started, and which is hard to believe that it was, you know, only 8 years ago that all of this social media stuff really blew up. If you look at Twitter and you look at Facebook and you look at comments, I've seen a shift, not in everybody, but in many people, in the way that they come to the comment section, you know, and having a conversation. You know, it's still not a place that I want to sit and go through, because there's a lot of really, you know, ugly stuff that gets said in these comments. But I have seen a shift where people are not just saying what comes into their mind, they're actually having a conversation. Like there's a shift. And so I find it fascinating. I keep saying that, but I find it fascinating how we learn and shift and move and change.
And evolve, perhaps.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. It's an evolution. It's fascinating. Ooh. All right. I love all of the information you've just given us. Christine, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Christine Agro is an empath. She's our guest on Kitchen Table Mystic. You can find her on Facebook under the Empath Guide to Survival, and on the internet. Her website is www.theempathguidetosurvival.com. I am going to conclude the show with one more card, just to see what the woman runes give us for a conclusion. You ready, Christine?
I am ready.
You ready? All right, let's see what we get. quick. Three times shuffle. Woman runes are, they're like tarot cards, and they are available if you go to the website motherhouseofthegoddess.com. Molly Reamer has her woman rune cards there, and you can check them out, and they're a lot of fun. And I have drawn the broom. Oh, this is nice. This is perfect, Christine. It's the rune of purification, clean sweep, and cleansing.
Mm.
What have we been talking about? Clearing energy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
That is cool, and I did not stage that.
I love that.
I am your host, Mary Petit, MaryPetiet. You can like my Facebook page to follow the Kitchen Table Mystic and my other writing work. My website is www.marypetite.com, and our guest has been Christine Agro. Christine, thank you.
Oh, thank you. This has been really great.
Yeah, thank you. I think that was some fabulous information. I enjoyed it. Okay, the Kitchen Table Mystic is signing off. I will be back in 2 weeks, same time, same place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.